Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 574. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Galamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, that is a lie, I would think. The year of our Lord 2020 has brought us a multitude of craziness. All of it very interesting, and all of it very,
It's a shit show, Kevin. It's a total fucking shit show.
let's get it out there. To everyone out there being activists, which I am not being currently, stay peaceful, stay safe. It does seem like a lot of these things have gone off without too much of a problem, but there's always some problems somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we at Stunt Granny, we do not need to create any kind of a graphic or make any kind of a special statement to say that, yes, we believe that Black Lives Matter, and yes, we stand against systemic racism and police brutality.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, the general...
Yeah, all these brands today, including WWE, putting out their special statements, and, for WWE, it went as well as you could expect, with people having 30, 40 years of horrible racial stereotypes to and incidents to throw in WWE's face.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will at least give the WWE credit that as of late, they have been better with such persons. I'm only going to say better. I'm not going to say great. I don't know if that's helping, yeah, I mean, you can't defend the other stuff, you know, like it's kind of there. Like it's history. It's in there. Like I just saw, I haven't really jumped on Twitter that much today, but I saw it was how long it took Triple H to pin Booker T at WrestleMania.
That's one of the more infamous ones in history. Yes, that is a terrible moment in time. It still feels like it's going on because of how long it took Triple H to pin Booker T.
I can't believe that would, like, I remember just being beside myself at the result of that match anyway, in not a good way. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, that's one of those genuinely mad moments that I had.
Oh, it was absolutely infuriating. And then you throw in, Jerry Lawler's commentary during that match. I know you probably don't remember it back, but I've rewatched it recently enough. It is bad. Every 1950s, 1960s racist joke you could possibly think of.
Yeah, I am not surprised by that being the case. It definitely hasn't been one that I've rewatched. So seeing that it took 26 seconds is something that is... completely, like, I mean, that just adds to the assholiness of that whole situation. Like, that is basically, at that point, that's just whipped cream and the cherry on top. Like, they've already built their sundae with the structure of the match, and the pinnacle obviously being the winner. But how long that pin took is just just that little bit extra just to really make it a Sunday. Holy smokes. Wow. Like, yeah, I knew it was bad. That just makes it even worse. Well, and I guess I can say too that I know that Jeremy and Shahid recorded a show earlier today. It will be posted sometime tomorrow. If you want someone's point of view that is more of the correct ethnicity that is at the heart of the topics nowadays, give that one a listen. I would definitely say that he is definitely going to be more of an expert more than you or I.
Yes.
So, we here have had Shahid for quite some time on the various podcasts. So, we are with him, so we can make things that simple too.
Correct. But this is such a major time in American history that we are witnessing live every day, it seems, and seems like just about everyone has an opinion about it, whether it is a well informed opinion or not, and that doesn't and that also holds true for a number of names in the professional wrestling industry, and adjacent.
And I have evidently done a very good job of missing out on how dumb some of these statements are. Because I've got to admit, obviously he's one of the bigger names. Chris Jericho is on his own list now.
Yes,
and
Chris Jericho, at some point in the over the course of the last weekend, someone he's following on Instagram posted something and hashtagged it Black Lives Matter, and Jericho had to correct him with the hashtag All Lives Matter. Which I hope over the last 4 or 5 years we've learned, no, you should not be doing that. But apparently Chris Jericho did not get the memo.
Gotcha.
And then, to make matters worse for Mr. Jericho, he kind of doubled down, didn't apologize. He someone actually took the time to make a video specifically for Chris Jericho explaining the entire Black Lives Matter movement, and Jericho immediately blocked this person without assuming ever watching the video. And then then shared a video of a man being beaten down during the course of the protests, some conspiracy theorist page was saying that this man had been killed. He was not. They were also saying that he was a business owner protecting a business. He was not. He was a maniac who decided that he was going to take his sword and go into battle during the protests.
Oh. Yeah, it's not a good look.
I'm not
surprised that he might be getting information from these sources.
Yes, he's a very conspiracy theorist minded individual. He's gotten in trouble before.
Yeah, he got so weird a while ago. I'm like, I'm out. Like, he started having that conspiracy theory guy on and started doing other stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can listen anymore. Like, you're going somewhere I don't want to go.
Yeah. His wrestling interviews are still very, very good. But yeah, he got really weird with it. He was definitely did not make many fans happy when he brought Donald Trump Jr. onto his podcast. You know what? I don't know if I necessarily believe that Chris Jericho is a bad guy, just someone who is ignorant and ill-informed on a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's still not a good look for AEW. AEW, you know what? You can say whatever you want about WWE. WWE is what it is. But AEW absolutely presented itself and marketed itself as the progressive woke wrestling company. It was in all their, it was in all of their press releases and media packets and everything else in, you know, heading into their debut last year.
Yes, yes, it was. And yeah, they've definitely fumbled things a little bit on that front, because yeah, there were two other people that got in trouble there on their roster, and especially since they're high-ranking officials. We got Cody Rhodes was out there causing issues about not having a Scorpio Sky was a an African American champion.
Yeah, the great deflection about the long held belief. It's been long because AEW just passed its official 1 year anniversary of their first of their first show, that they do not have very as many or really any black singles wrestlers on their roster, and particularly black singles wrestlers who are getting a push. Scorpio Sky has been a tag team champion, and you know, and also got the got a brief singles push into a TV championship match, main event against Chris Jericho, and then which was quick, and then was dispatched and then quickly forgotten about, and then of course SCU would then also go on to lose the tag team championships, and just last week SCU lost a tag team title tag team number one contenders match to the incredibly awesome team of Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, and I mean the thing was, at least I think I may have missed the last couple of weeks of Being the Elite, but I had caught some of the stuff with Private Party wrestling teddy bears and all kinds of other weird shit going on. And, like, I kind of like their look and their presentation to start with, and their kind of little skits on there made me like them even more so. Seeing them lose to Havoc and Sabian was, whew, man, yeah. I guess, but whatever. Like, yeah, it's a bad look. Like, they won that one match against the Young Bucks, and they've not been able to capitalize on it ever. And they should either kind of make that a storyline at some point, or, you know, I mean, they just really need to pay off on that. Like, for all the tag teams that they've had, they haven't done a good job with their tag team division. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
It does make sense, and we're going to definitely get into a sidebar here. But,
oh, yeah.
Well, Hangman Sorry. Page disappeared for about what felt like a month or a month and a half, basically.
Oh,
close to, well, yeah, we've been over 2 months because Hangman didn't show up until the last Dynamite before Double or Nothing. So it would have been a full 2 months without Hangman on an AEW show. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't help matters at all.
And then they did it a month's worth of shows with a skeleton crew of people only of wrestlers only based in the Southeast as well.
Yeah. So that's Okay. So yeah, that was the sidebar to the whole Cody thing. Yeah, and I guess to get back to that point, like AEW's kind of had the time to find someone. Like, I'm not sure who they bring in necessarily, but I would think that there are some options out there on the indies
Yeah,
to at least to bring someone in who it doesn't even sound like people are expecting him to be a champion like right out of the gate, but just that have them somewhere, even just have them wrestle on Dark for the time being.
Yeah, well, that has been mentioned that they do bring in a lot of indie talent to do squash work, and a good chunk of that is black. Those gentlemen are black,
Oh,
but
okay.
they, of course, they're being brought in to do squash work and not and don't and don't get a contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could definitely do what's his I would think that Cheeseburger from Ring of Honor would be an example that you could do with a talent such as that.
Right, yes.
Definitely have him be a fan favorite underdog type of situation. So yeah, yeah, they've had time to I think sufficiently address the issue, and they have failed to do so because well, and that might be just another taping issue too, but does it seem like they're keeping Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian as a tag team? Like, I feel like I'm leaning to yes.
I think that they've actually been doing is setting up for some kind of a split, because it's almost as if they're both competing for the affections for the lack of a better word, of Christopher Daniels, and that that maybe there will be a Scorpio Sky breakout singles run coming.
And that would be welcome. Like I really feel like that dude has something special that they started to capitalize on with that win early on. They could have done something with Sky's loss to Chris Jericho to keep him more of a singles wrestler, 'cause they've done at least to start things off, they had done a good job with balancing Kenny Omega as a singles guy and a tag team wrestler. But, so they could have done something like that. Like, they had a little bit of a template to use to be able to kind of sort those duties out. And yeah, I guess it would have been nice for them to pull that out before a potential as we're listing it right now happening at the current moment. So yeah, AEW hasn't really addressed that situation. What did Brandy do to get herself in into hot water? You had a
She was, she'd been prodded in all comments on social media to make her own statement, but never actually. Actually, I'm not entirely sure exactly what had happened, because she deleted it. It was deleted very quickly, but it was she very quickly made it about herself and her own experiences. Refused to use the hashtag Black Lives Matter, refused to give any links to anywhere that people can donate or learn more information. And then she went on a what I definitely did see was her going on a Instagram story rant, if we could call it that, of people who were saying some not so very nice things to her, and she essentially just made the story about her hurt feelings.
Oh,
because that's what's important during.
Well, yeah, that's the chief brand officer,
chief brandy officer.
Chief brandy officer. Oh, good gravy. Yeah, that just kind of describes it right there, honestly. So, yeah, I guess what should we have expected with that that as a title? Yeah, I feel like the only one in AEW who has gotten a pass in that department is Tony Khan.
Tony Khan has said all the right things. Whether you can really believe the billionaire Khan family is up to the individual to decide, but he's certainly saying all the right things, including telling off one Linda Hogan today.
Yeah, anyone like Linda Hogan that uses the term Afro-American, you gotta flag them as problematic.
Yeah. Oh my god, I finally came across Brandi Rhodes' original statement. Holy crap, this is, what a victimhood complex. What a nasty person. it's too long for me to read out loud, but it's certainly out there in screenshot form if those out there would like to find it.
We're just kind of trying to illustrate AEW's kind of mostly bad week. Linda Hogan, I can't even say that I've thought about that woman in quite some time, and to be
you really should have no reason to. She said some deplorable thing about the protests, and certainly, you know, more than implied racial overtones to her speech, to her Twitter rant. Called out by a number of people, including Tony Khan, and then, of all people, Nick Hogan chimes in with his meme about, something about stand in traffic, get hit by a car. Think about the irony of Nick Hogan making a reference to someone to do any incident involving a car.
Man, I believe he actually smartly deleted that, but. As with anything on the internet, if it is on there, it is on there.
Yeah, indeed, it is on there. So yes, the Hogan family, including the former Misses, not having a good time here. Not that you would expect them to, considering the views of the patriarch of said family. But Tony Khan did use this as an opportunity to score his own version of as the kids say, woke points, while ignoring the social media missteps of members of his own roster.
I'm honestly surprised that the Young Bucks are the ones who've gotten through this thing without.
They deleted their Twitter about 6 months ago. and Omega has just kept quiet.
I guess that's one way to not get in trouble is to just be quiet. That certainly is one way to do things. And I can't blame him, I guess, in some regard. But you definitely do need someone out there, and you don't need them making the missteps that that were made. Yeah, luckily for the WWE, they did not really have any missteps to speak of. Oh, no, well, no, there was definitely, there is definitely one, our good buddy, Jackson Ryker.
Yeah. At least the one from a WWE contracted, superstar, was somebody so unimportant that it's not something that's going to, get beyond the realm of wrestling Twitter. But yeah, one Mr. Jackson Ryker decided to praise the president's speech last night. That was a enormously criticized, to say the least. And then, you know, in what I think a lot of people found most offensive, he worked their forgotten the forgotten son's forgotten no more catchphrase into his tweet, which he was called out for by one Kevin Owens. Specifically.
Oh, jeez.
And others have certainly called him out, including the usual suspects who are very, very themselves into social justice, such as Sami Zayn, Ali, I believe Ricochet said something. Big E certainly had his had his say.
Yeah,
not a man I would like, not a man I would like want angry at me the next time I see him when we would have to share a backstage area together, or a ring for that matter. So yeah, no, it's just a really bad look. I mean, almost hilariously, Wesley Blake and Jay Cutler just distancing themselves from him immediately with their own statements, either condemning what he said or showing their support for the memory and the search for justice for George Floyd. So yeah, that's where that with him, just continuing to compound a baffling signing. He's, you know, been around a while, you know, at least late 2000s TNA when he was Gunner. So he's going to be at this point, you know, a guy in his late 30s. I mean, he's kind of tall. He's got a pretty good body, but you know, certainly not amongst the best, or the tallest, or the most impressive physique. He's not a good promo, not very charismatic, and has never shown anything in the ring. So it's his entire run in the wrestling business, where he does nothing but still somehow finds his way moving forward, is absolutely baffling to me.
I guess I feel like he's bigger than you're giving him credit for, but he's not taller, but I do think that he's very built, but I also don't think that, like, the WWE has shown their faith in him by basically not having him wrestle. Or having him wrestle as little as possible. Because Cutler and Blake are the tag team with Ryker on the outside all the time. Like, he is kind of a glorified valet at this point. Is that harsh?
Yeah, he is. What? Wait, what did you say?
Is that harsh?
No, it is not. He really doesn't do anything. I mean, I know, and this is very ironic, the New Day absolutely popularized the three-man trio that in the tag team division. But just because they made it work doesn't mean that anyone else just anyone else could make it work. You know, he does very little. It's a weird. They're a weird act. They could certainly move on without him and not lose a step if they wanted to continue with Cutler and Blake.
Agreed.
Without him, they have made no moves to push him as a single, and at this moment, there's probably not going to be any plans to move it, to push him as a single, or if there were, they would smartly be dropped.
Agreed. That's gonna be something that might rankle things not quite the right way. It especially in the locker room there, as you mentioned. So yeah, Jackson Ryker, like you said, like if they lose him, it's not a big deal and really probably of benefit, honestly. Like I'm with you. Like, he's never obviously, like, because he is basically a glorified valet, like, even the WWE's like, we don't really trust you in the ring, dude. We think you kind of look like a monster, but that can really only get you so far. You know, like, the AOP has had more of a problem, and they're more skilled than those guys. Or has had as much of a problem.
Yeah, very well. I mean, Wesley Blake has been in NXT, was in NXT / developmental since I believe, you know, predating NXT and FCW. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with Cutler. See, as we said, Riker's been around a pretty long time now. You know, for someone who's in the neighborhood of at least being a 15-year veteran, he's nowhere near good enough to be proud of where he is at this stage in his career, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's doing it just because I guess the pay is good enough, and they're keeping him around.
Yeah. They do keep him around. I don't get it. His story going forward will be very interesting. It'll be very interesting at least to see how he addresses the inevitable issues in the locker room. I mean, nothing interesting on screen, of course. Just the backstage hubbub.
That will be something that I would imagine will be a little bit of a problem for him. As Cam is also fond of saying, shutting up is free. So you can throw expletives in there too if you want to, but the timing was kind of everything for that one, for sure-sies. But the WWE itself and any major players have avoided any scrutiny. So that's, I guess, good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in general, everyone's, you know, whether they are completely genuine or whether they feel like they are, you know, frauded to by the company or just, don't want to be accused of being unsupportive of the cause, that, you know, they put up the hashtag and do the cursory, comment, or if they're, you know, incredibly invested in the cause themselves. But no, I mean, WWE certainly, other than one incredibly irrelevant, unimportant member of their roster, has handled the situation as well as could be possible, as well as you would think they would, because if they are in the situation because of everything we talked about earlier with their their history, open themselves up to ridicule if they go too far, like they do every year on Martin Luther King Day with that incredibly long video that Vince McMahon loves to have at the beginning of the show.
That doesn't get any less awkward.
No, it does not. It really does not. I mean, I guess good for them for doing it, but in comparison to the rest of the show and their history, it just seems so out of place.
Agreed, sir. Agreed. Do we want to finally get to some wrestling? Like, I feel like that's when you do more than half a show on the on the issue of the day. I feel like that's a pretty solid take. And pawning off the other important information on Shahid.
Right. None of us have the perspective that he does at the table, and I encourage everyone to be on the lookout for this week's, I guess we call it, a special edition of We Watched, where Shahid is going to certainly go in-depth on his life experiences and all of his feelings over the goings-on in the last week. But also, on the going-on in the last week, still, as frivolous as it may seem, WWE still running regular programming on Friday night and Monday night.
Yes, and Friday night has become now going on two consecutive weeks. It is a Tuesday view for me before we do this show. So, it ends up being more fresh in my memory, but also, I don't remember anything because it's still SmackDown. Because there were a couple of things that were really gnawing at me about that show, and a couple of things that that were cracking me up too. I believe that weirdness with Mandy Rose and Otis. Were they doing some type of weird Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes, they were absolutely doing
a spoof on
Fast
that.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yes, that is exactly what that was supposed to be. The cool side fantasy scene, yes. A movie from 1982.
I mean, I'm here for it.
Well, the demographic is aging.
play to your crowd. Yeah, that one, that did kind of crack me up. I will admit. And it is one of those things that I feel like it's kind of fun to, like, now is the time to do stuff like this because, and I mean, we've talked about it a lot. Like, it's the best way to build some character out for some people. And, yeah.
No, I was royally entertained by the whole thing. It was, it was quite good. No, I thought it was funny. I like, Otis and Mandy together. I like what they're doing with them. No, that was good stuff. Once again, certainly an incredibly dated reference this day and age, but I think it's an iconic enough movie that most people viewing certainly got it.
Yeah. Because yeah, I'm just buzzing through the matches here because We had the Battle Royal to start things off to face Daniel Bryan, which is easy to get to later. Lacey Evans and Sonya Deville.
Well, I guess we really should talk about the opening angle.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the most important part of SmackDown.
Yeah, I guess I kind of I don't know why I forgot about that, because they at least would seem positive to the theory that Jeff Hardy hit and ran, and he hit Elias in the process. So, yeah, because I believe, do they find Jeff Hardy's card on Elias? His driver's license?
I guess Elias got hit. Then the car was... I'm trying to remember. It's been so long now. The car was adjacent. Cops went through the car, found, I believe, Jeff Hardy's license. I guess they were trying to say. And then Jeff Hardy was found... completely, he, I guess, discombobulated is a word, or in terms, you know, believed to be drunk. He very classy take off on his real life problems, as WWE's want to do. And Jeff Hardy was arrested for hit and run. And Jeff Hardy and Elias were both taken out of their Intercontinental Championship tournament matches. Leading to the skit with where Adam Pearce now is apparently in charge of WWE. Not sure exactly when that happened.
Yeah, Adam Pearce starts making more TV appearances after the whole WrestleMania versus Adam Pearce appearances happens. Did he end up breaking up the women fighting on Raw? Yes, I believe.
That was his role on Raw. Yes.
Okay.
But on SmackDown, he was front and center more than he has ever been front and center. It was jarring because Adam Pearce isn't really famous. His biggest claim to fame was Ring of Honor, and most of that was before Ring of Honor had television. It's got to be jarring for some viewers to not have any clue who this man is, because they never actually give him a name. They never actually name him either when he's on TV.
That's still one of the more bizarre tics that Vince McMahon has. I still don't like stuff like that, and the referees not having names. It's just like, I know who NFL officials are sometimes. I look at those guns and I'm like, oh, that's Ed Hockley. And I actually know all the WWE referees, so it's kind of weird that you just don't say their name, or you have the announcers not say their names, because it's just bizarre. They're part of the action. Why would they not have their names said?
Yeah, I mean, he is now essentially the authority figure on the show.
Sorry.
I know that nobody knows. I know that he was not anyone well known in WWE for years and years. A character on television that people would know, but they're deciding to use him in this role. I mean, there are other people that you know work backstage. I know there was a bloodletting of people of backstage workers, you know, even well before the COVID-19 crisis. But you could use Jeff Jarrett in that role. Most everyone watching should know who Jeff Jarrett is. So it's kind of a weird thing that they use this unknown indie wrestler who went to work backstage in WWE instead of someone that the audience would actually know. And then not name him or give him any kind of a title.
If he's gonna get
that much TV time, because he really held court in for like a 10-minute segment, it felt like.
Yeah, he was.
And no one knows who this man is. Once again, other than us and her.
Fair enough point. He was on there an awfully long time and had a lot of talking, unlike a referee or something of that nature. There was a lot of speech out of him. And you know what else was jarring? One thing that I didn't think about, and you kind of jogged my memory talking about this scene, Jason Jordan was one of the guys carrying Jeff Hardy from the scene. I guess I didn't feel like, but is he an agent now?
Yes, he's been an agent ever since he had his surgery that did not heal whatever neck issues he was having, and he is an agent for I guess permanently, unless his physical health situation changes. So yeah, that is his role now.
I guess I didn't realize that. Like, that one was one that was surprising to me. I don't feel like I've seen him in too many of the backstage skits, as you might want to call them. Because obviously Adam Pearce makes an appearance frequently. Is Jamie Noble still there?
I think he's been gone for a while.
Because I'm trying to think of... Because I feel like there are a couple... I feel like other than Adam Pearce, there's a couple other familiar faces that break up some of these brawls. And the name of who that might be is obviously escaping me at the current moment.
It is escaping me. I know we've seen...
And it's, well, it's not that big a deal either.
Right. I don't know. I think we spent enough time on Adam Pearce already.
Yeah. So that was kind of an interesting segment because, AJ Styles was smart and decided to bypass competition and just get into the finals while Daniel Bryan wanted a challenge. And he ended up getting one.
And, of course, AJ Styles quite rightfully calling him a moron. In my opinion.
I'm on board for these things. because yeah, why have a match that could cost you a chance at for that chance? It's silly. It did not cost.
But this was the storyline they decided to go with. Once again, I don't know if there's something legitimately going on with Elias Hellflies, but now this will now be the second time they're writing him off with a storyline injury, and might even be the third time. Unless you count the few weeks he was gone between Baron Corbin throwing him off the staging area. Staging platform area and WrestleMania. Then there's the Baron Corbin attack in the back. He only returned just a couple of weeks ago to have the beat Baron Corbin. That was his only match back. And now they've done another injury angle with him.
I don't understand why he can't stick around. I don't know if he has legitimate injuries that keep on keeping him out, or if they just keep on taking him out for reasons that are unaware to us. Because, I mean, there isn't anything backstage that he has heat for that he keeps on getting bounced from these angles, is there? Is there anything that I'm missing that you might be aware of that Elias has done backstage to rankle someone the wrong way?
No, I've heard nothing of that sort. So I'm wondering if there's a legitimate injury.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely feels like he's been one of those. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, it would seem like. I just feel that way. I'm not sure if it's accurate or not, but I just feel like you said, like there's been like three times where he's been replaced kind of in a major angle already that we can kind of name off the tops of our heads. That's pretty injury prone, and that's gonna leave him in a spot that is not likely to lead anywhere too far. Yeah, and I guess Sheamus and Daniel Bryan ended up having their match. DB still got out of it, so it did not cost him his chance against AJ Styles. that should be a heck of a matchup. I'm looking forward to that one.
Absolutely. That there's no reason that should be a very good match. Oddly enough, they're only doing that match on television on the SmackDown before Backlash, and not on a Backlash itself. So I wonder if there will be some kind of an angle leading to another championship match on Backlash. I'd be surprised if there wasn't. But no, that should be very good. I mean, they certainly did a out-of-the-box angle for SmackDown, even if you would consider it something fairly controversial because of Jeff Hardy's past issues. But it seems like they're setting up that it was actually Sheamus who committed the act. So I guess.
Oh.
So I guess Sheamus is going away for attempted murder then.
Yeah, the WWE is a weird, weird world where he will not get sent away for attempted murder. Yeah, but I guess it'll be interesting to see what he, how they handle that, I suppose. You know, whether Sheamus decided to pour alcohol on Jeff Hardy to make him look like he was drunk. Like, how soap opera-y is this gonna get? On a scale of 1 to 10. Do you think it's going to get Rikishi hit Stone Cold Steve Austin weird or less weird than that?
I think it's going to be the who tried to kill Roman Reigns thing that's just going to get dropped very quickly, because you do realize that you did have one of your wrestlers try to kill one of your other wrestlers, and there's no reason he shouldn't be in prison. So I think we're going to end up moving on from this very quickly.
Oh boy. So there's that. Anything else of note that you remember from SmackDown? From what I'm looking at, my little list, I think that sums up SmackDown pretty well.
Well, you know what? I think it'd be remiss if I didn't even mention the incredibly fun entire segment with in match leading from a moment of bliss through the Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss match. I thought that was some of the most fun, the most fun stuff of the of this entire quarantine era. It was I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it from the beginning. I enjoyed the interplay from all four women. I thought the match was really good. I thought Bayley and Nikki Cross were hysterical on commentary. I'm a big fan of that whole thing.
Yeah, agreed. They did do a very good job. So, Raw, you know, that is something still.
Yep, Raw definitely happened. It was a show. You're right.
yeah, I still... The whole Charlie Caruso, Angel Garza thing is one of the weirder things that I feel like I've seen.
I can only imagine that. You know, I guess we're building to Zelina Vega versus Charlie Caruso. I mean, there's no other end game for all of this.
That is the other thing. Like, what's the end game?
Yeah, I mean, the flirting between Charlie and Angel Garza has been building for quite some time, since Angel Garza, you know, debuted.
Yeah.
And Zelina Vega has, well... Zelina Vega has managed Angel Garza that entire time, because it started during that period where one Mr. Andrade was indisposed, shall we say, for 30 days. And it's from pretty much that night one had the flirting between Charlie and Angel Garza began. They've continued with it. It's got to be leading somewhere, and I mean, someone did ask, Charlie Caruso, when she just did on Twitter just to pass the time, didn't ask me anything if she would be willing to have a match, and she said yes.
Oh, I guess that'd be interesting. I have no idea if she has she trained at all.
She, I don't know, she may have. I mean, she's in incredible shape. You gotta say that. She's got bigger arms than a decent percentage of the male roster, let alone the female roster.
Oh boy, yeah. I guess that you might be able to pull off a mixed tag match with that.
Yeah, you certainly could. You definitely could. But otherwise, in the world of Zelina Vega and her men, the interruption of the U.S. title match between Apollo Crews and Kevin Owens leading to a tag match, where once again Andrade gets beaten by Apollo Crews. They seem to be moving in the direction that, you know, Andrade has had his time in the spotlight, and now is going to be Angel Garza's turn to go after the United States Championship, and Andrade will probably be none too happy about that. So, I mean, that's been done really well. So, I like it. Once again, I wish both Andrade and Angel Garza had gotten more key wins in the last couple of months to really take this whole thing home, but. That's not the direction that we chose, as we've gone over.
Oh, And I did continue to like Asuka.
Oh, everyone loves Asuka.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it just needs to be said week in and week out. Because, she even did a promo mostly in English this week. It was a short one, but it was still effective nonetheless. Like, I think she uses that her English just enough now to really kind of convey all of the emotions that she can show to you. And that's pretty awesome. an economy of words for her. So yeah, always good to go with Asuka. more Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders. We're getting bowling this time around. Of course, there's two different types of bowling. When there is no smoke and when there is smoke. But it still leads us to a 2-2 tie in this bitter feud between the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits. Chris, are you continuing to be entertained?
It was funny, although it was very much very much like the basketball sketch where the Street Profits faked not being good at bowling. And then the swerve at the end, where it turns out they actually were very good, but they still lost in the end to get the score tied to 2-2, leading to Did they announce what they're going to do next week?
I'm not sure that they did. Yeah, because the review that I'm reading doesn't make any reference to next week's possible shenanigans.
Yeah, either next week there's going to be another skit, or the fifth and final showdown between them is actually going to be the match for the tag team championships at Backlash. But no, this was fun. This has been fun. It's definitely a better way to build to especially since it's a babyface versus babyface match. It's certainly a better way to build to the tag title match at Backlash than just having them have non-title matches and singles matches between the four, for weeks and weeks on end, making the actual wrestling between them, stale. So no, this was a creative way to build this match, and the comedy didn't always land, but it was. I think the positives outweighed it.
Oh yeah,
it was a good way to WWE could use to do more things like this. Maybe not necessarily as played for laughs, but the things that keep wrestling talent away from each other in the ring, so that they don't just do so that pay-per-view opponents aren't touching each other every week.
Yeah, that has been a little bit more of a trick, even more than in the past. I would say they have definitely relied a lot less on the they definitely do tag team matches still, but I don't feel like they do nearly as many multi-man matches. They've done a handful of those, but they've kind of cut back on those for the most part. I guess another part, an interesting part of Raw, was Dominic Mysterio getting some microphone time during his father's speech this week about whether he may or may not retire.
No, that was very interesting. That. They're gonna keep playing off that Ray is potentially permanently injured, and it looks like even though his father was trying to talk him out of it, we are going to see Dominic show up to to take revenge on behalf of his family.
Yeah, and that's pretty exciting. Like, I kind I felt they teased it before, but they didn't pull the trigger. Like, I guess I really expected some type of involvement back with the Brock Lesnar stuff.
Well, they were never actually going to do anything where Dominic was going to, you know, wrestle Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Seth Rollins is certainly... Seth Rollins, you know, as a wrestler, is, you know, a great choice to be Dominic's first opponent. Actually wrestling in a match.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely, yes, Rollins is as good as they come. So if you want someone to be able to correct someone in a match, I think that he would be tailored just for that. Yeah, I guess I'm pretty excited about that one. We'll see what happens, I guess. Like, it could just be a decent match. But it just, again, like, it's just felt like these feuds for Rey Mysterio have gotten weirdly personal. And Dominic keeps on popping up in them. And he just he needed to do something at some point, or else it was going to start to get weird. And it looks like they're finally going to stop not making it weird. Thank goodness. Anything else from Raw? I mean, do we, Asuka versus Charlotte, that was not surprisingly a no contest. The main event, Drew McIntyre versus MVP, that's not a whole lot of anything. I think that about does it for the actual end of wrestling this week, does it not?
I believe that does, yes.
Okie dokie. Well, I am going to mention that I was drinking Who Farted Brewings All Together, which was a collaboration brewed to support hospitality professionals. That is obviously not part of the message that has... largely been in the news last week, but that was one of those beers that went to the employees of the brewery there, so I was happy to at least try and help some peoples out a little bit. And that's what everyone should be doing. Help some people out here that need the help the most. I think that's a good message. At DeFrango11, at Stunt Cali, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on any of the podcasting places because we're there. And you will actually see episode art. There will be We Watch Stuff art. I freshened up their logo. So I believe this will be the first time that Jeremy is putting it on the page. We're still going to be rocking the NXT UK label, and there might be some new ones coming later. So, yeah, that's it. Subscribe, like, comment, review. That'd be great. Thank you, and have a good night.
Later.